Roberta, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the daily program this morning.
Pleasure.
Now, looking at the Premier's, what the Premier has attributed this decision to, she said with the upcoming local government elections scheduled for September 9th, she said, "I don't want that kind of uncertainty hanging over these elections." What do you make of the Premier's reasoning for backing down on the council amalgamations?
Well, look, the process, even by the Premier's own admission, which she said yesterday, hasn't been, ideal. And I suppose they would think, and most of us would think, there's some lessons to learn from that. I think with the success in the courts by Woollahra Council, that they got leave to appeal the decision for a forced amalgamation, and look, I think the government has just lost the appetite for the conflict. It's politically damaging for them in some of their own key seats. The minister's own seat is Woollahra, and the Minister for Local Government's own seat is Woollahra. They're just, the councils that have opposed the amalgamations have really just stuck to their guns and indicated they're going to keep fighting, and it has gone on for longer than I think anyone anticipated. So, look, using the focus on the September elections is probably a way to have the conversation about saying, we got some of the way down the path on this, but we didn't get as far as we wanted. And the Premier did say yesterday she still supported amalgamations of councils in the metropolitan areas, but they just haven't been able to pull it off.
You know, it's quite interesting, as you point out there, Roberta, this has gone on for a great deal longer. The opposition has gone on for a great deal longer than it would seem anticipated. Now, hindsight is, of course, 2020. Mm. In this situation, the New South Wales government is clearly sitting there going, well, we would have approached this a different way if we had this kind of hindsight when we set out originally. But why was it that there was sort of a lack of anticipation around such a strong opposition to these mergers?
Look, they knew they were going to get opposition. I mean, the history of consolidation of local government across Australia, it's always fought by certain groups in the community, in regional communities. There's a lot of sense of the importance of regional local identity, and that there's always a big fight put on for some council areas. But in the metropolitan areas, the councils like Mossman, Hunters Hill, Woollahra and so on, they've not just got the will and the belief in, small focused local government to meet their own needs. They've also got the resources. And so they engaged top QCs, got advice, legal advice. I mean, these were councils who really are committed to a small local government. So what we've ended up with is local governments of a really disparate size in metropolitan Sydney. We've got some local governments, with 15,000 to 20,000 people, and some of the biggest local governments in the country, and in fact in the world, with 360, 380 people. So that's just across metropolitan Sydney. So, the pattern, what we've ended up with, quite interesting. Why it went wrong? There's lots of reasons why it went wrong. The process got politicised. The boundaries that were set for the way the councils, the councils that were to be grouped together, some of them weren't rational. People looked at that and thought, what's going on there? And some people suggested it was because it would strengthen, political parties in certain locations. Why did the City of Sydney not get bigger as part of this process, which you would have expected? There's lots of reasons for these things. I think that in the end, the process, that the bureaucratic process had a few hiccups, and that became the way in which the courts, the councils who wanted to fight this legally used it through the court process. But that's not the reason why it didn't work. It didn't work because, local autonomy is valued by people, and you really have to engage with people in ways that this is a much more cooperative effort. Government would say, cooperation in this context isn't going to work. People aren't going to do this voluntarily. And there's an in-between position. I think you have to prosecute the argument with communities, not just councils. If you think there's a value in larger local governments, you have to have the evidence, you have to prosecute the argument, you have to win people's hearts and minds, and I didn't see enough of that.
Now, just finally, yesterday's decision, this obviously affects only those 14 Sydney councils that decided to challenge the state government's decision. Are we likely to see anything come out of this result for the councils that were already forcibly amalgamated last year?
I think that's a really interesting question. A lot of them will be thinking about that very thing today. Look, we don't have a clear view about what process the government might require from councils if they seek to de-amalgamate. What happened in Queensland, for example, which is the most recent example of where a small number of councils de-amalgamated, the government set up a process where they had to pay back the money they were given, they had to talk to their community to demonstrate a high level of community support for the de-amalgamation process, and then there were a whole lot of rules around how the organisational de-amalgamation process would happen. We haven't seen whether the New South Wales government would set up such a set of criteria. And it would be a challenge. The amalgamated councils are significantly down the path of making their organisations work as larger entities. It's a difficult egg to unscramble. You know, there's a lot of time and money wasted in these processes, where most councils, I think, will take the view they need to get on with the business of governing and providing the services that they need to for their local communities. But that's not to say some won't. So I think we'll be interested to see what the government requires of them as part of that process, and that we don't know what that would be yet.
Well, Roberta, thank you very much. Appreciate your time on this one. Bit of an unexpected development for a few people. Really appreciate you joining us.
Great pleasure.